Today's audiocast for Friday, May 19th is made possible by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. The fastest growing segment of the general aviation market didn't even exist until a couple of years ago, but now there are two personal jets undergoing flight testing. Barely a month after Diamond launched the prototype of its long-awaited D-Jet, XL Jet pilots have taken to the skies in their single-engine sport jet. XL Jet President Bob Bornhofen talked to AvWeb's Russ Niles about the differences between a personal jet and a very light jet, and let us in on some pretty impressive preliminary performance figures.
Typically, a very light jet is going to have two engines, probably cruise above 35,000 feet. Is sixth place, and that is radically different from an insurance perspective than a four-place cruising 25,000 feet with a single engine.
What is the difference in insurance friendliness between the two?
Well, if you want to transition a bearing driver or let's say Bonanza, Cirrus, Columbia into a jet, then the first thing you're going to encounter is the insurance issue, which is how do the insurance people perceive someone of that caliber flying a jet aircraft, which is faster and typically flies higher. So to appease or to help satisfy the insurance people, we went with them early on in the program and said, give us your conditions that would make the transition very easy for someone between 500 and 700 hours. And their conditions were keep it four place or under, 125,000 feet, because there's no emergency descent, backup oxygen, keep it single engine, because our statistics show that single engine is substantially safer for this kind of a pilot than a twin. So it really gets into I guess the real question is, when can an individual fly an aircraft solo with competitive insurance rates? And when you ask that question, I believe you'll come out with that a single engine, more personal style jet is substantially easier to achieve that goal than a twin engine flying at 35,000 feet carrying six people.
Tell us a little bit about your jet specifications and performance in the initial test flights.
Well, we just completed the fifth test flight so far. We hit 250 knots, two airspeed, and we're right about 53% power. So we will be bumping the power up next series of test flights. So far, we're on track to deliver an aircraft that's going to be 340, 350 knots, two airspeed at 25,000 feet. All the numbers are working out really very, very well. The aircraft is exhibiting excellent stability, flight control, harmony, responsiveness. We really couldn't ask for anything better. We're all very, very satisfied at the flight test data that we are seeing to date.
When is certification flight testing going to begin?
Right now, we're going through the, I call it the certifiability flight testing. Is the aircraft certifiable? Will it have all the necessary flight handling properties that allow us to proceed with certification at minimum risk for the financial investor? And I'm guessing we should be through with that flight data in about 1 to 2 months. We'll have all our data points. Then we'll begin with the cert process, which is about 2 years to get it certified. We hope to expect to be flying the first formal flight test article in about 18 months.
Diamond recently flew its D-Jet. Cirrus is planning a personal jet. The market is already crowded. What sets the sport jet apart?
Performance and insurability. We have a bigger cabin with WISE. There's a lot of room out there for two or three entrants, and everybody's going to have their own personal preference. Some people are going to want a family-type sedan, and some people are going to want more of a Lexus you know, four-door sports coupe. Our goal is to provide the maximum performance, the most amount of comfort that we can provide a client. We're not trying to sell 500 aircraft a year. You know, our goals are between 30 and 100 planes a year, which allows us to give good service to the customer base. I think the market would drive, you know, competition is very good. It forces you to be more competitive and do more homework.
Will you be able to get at Oshkosh this year?
We should be at Oshkosh this year, hopefully all the other air shows. Yeah. We've been deliberately quiet and under the radar screen. We want to validate the numbers before we begin to hype anything. And right now we're going through this, the number validation. And out of 5 flights, they've all been textbook flights. The aircraft keeps on performing. So I can't see any reason why we shouldn't be at Oshkosh and AOPA and other air shows.
And you went with the Williams engine. How's it working for you?
It's a great little engine. What can I say? You know, when you're going 250 knots true airspeed and you're only at about 50% power, speaks pretty well for the engine and pretty well for the airframe. But now Williams has been very, very great to work in this area. The engine has just been outstanding. The FADEX has been superb. It's just tough to beat.
Our thanks to XL Jet President Bob Bornhofen for being with us today. And Bob, we'll be looking for that jet this year at Oshkosh. For the latest breaking news and a lot more, like Motorhead 13, the Lakeland routine, probable cause number 6, experience can kill you, the Savvy Aviator number 31, and the picture of the week, be sure to log on to avweb.com. Today's audiocast was written by Russ Niles and brought to you by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. Look for AvWeb's next audiocast on Monday, May 22nd. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News. Thanks for downloading us.